All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast, bowl recap season. We are doing one bowl recap at a time because that's what you deserve. Check us out, mwwire.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff, Mountain West Wire, MWC Wire on Twitter. Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly, and Vegas Bowl, baby.
Pretty interesting game, all things considered.
Safe to say, very interesting. For this show, folks, we're just going to dive into it, do the recap. Get in and out quick. Well, not quick, but we'll do a thorough recapping of the show of the game. But no news really, because we want to save the news for podcasts later on when it's January and February, right? March, April.
Yeah, so that we're not necessarily scraping the bottom of the barrel by then.
No, we'll have fun stuff. But this game, oh my goodness! For those who didn't watch, Boise State won. They end up winning 38-28. Nowhere near as close as the final score indicated.
No.
And I was unable to see this game until basically last night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So I spent a full 2 days trying to watch this game to fit my schedule.
Yeah, and I mean, when I was thinking about how this game might turn out, like when we were talking about it in the preview podcast, you know, I didn't think that, well, I mean, I thought that Boise's strengths were a really good matchup for Oregon's strengths. I just didn't see the possibility of these two teams being so, you know, so lopsided, because, you know, it's basically two competing narratives. Like, one was that the defense more or less dominated, you know, when, especially in the first half, when they more or less put the game out of reach and kind of kept the Ducks at arm's length in the second half. And then, you know, there was a little bit of offensive inconsistency, which, you know, some of that may come down to play calling. Some of it was just, you know, unfortunate, you know, decision making. Some of it was just a little bit of weirdness. And, you know, when you step back and really look at the whole picture, though, the what you come away with is just the fact that Boise State was the better team all along. You know, there was a little bit of inconsistency, but, you know, Oregon just never really got it going until it was too late.
Yeah, and it's here part of this game, like going through watching this game, going through thinking about what Justin Herbert, how big a deal would he be. And I mentioned this in the podcast in our preview, like, look who, yes, he was like, they, well, a couple things here. They were about 200 yards difference when he was out compared to being in, mm-hmm. which is fair because he's a big player. He's was their best player by well, Royce Freeman didn't play, but he's their best player. His reason they were sitting at 5-1 when he was at, before he got injured, something like
was,
that.
Yeah, 5-1.
And if you looked at who they played, I'll mention it again really quick here. I need to pull up the schedule. But this was the best team they've played with Herbert in the lineup. And I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, you're right. That was something we kind of debated a little bit. Like, how much of a difference was the defense going to make for Boise State? And boy, howdy, did it.
Yeah, they, like, I'll get to everything that's part of the broadcast commentary with Herb Street and who else was with them? Reese Davis. Wasn't those two guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those two guys talking about the game, they made some interesting thoughts when the game was getting out of hand, which you gotta, when it gets up as it was 14-0, 24-0, it's like, oh crap, what are we talking about? Because this game's going on. But like going through what Herbert played and what Boise, what they play without him, like I'll mention it one more time for people. I'm kind of stalling here because I didn't have the right page up here, but Herbert played against Wyoming, did well, Southern Utah, Nebraska. None of those were, was Nebraska a bowl team this year?
No.
So, no bowl teams there. Wyoming's a bowl team, but they are hit or miss this year, especially the way they've been playing running the ball. Not a great team. It's just 6-6. Okay, they are out there. They're not a great team. Or 7-5, whatever Wyoming finished. I'll get that record right down the road eventually. 7-5, yes. But, like, the teams they played when he was in the lineup weren't great. Arizona State wasn't good. Well, we didn't know how good or bad they were.
They ended up being decent. But they
fired, yeah, they ended up being pretty good.
But they fired Todd Graham anyway, so...
Yeah, and lost both their coordinators and bringing a head coach, Herm Edwards, who hasn't coached in a decade, hasn't coached college since 89 when he's some assistant at San Jose State. So good luck with that, Sun Devils.
Mm-hmm.
They played Cal. He played part of the game. They're not very good. They beat Cal. He missed Washington State ranked team, Stanford ranked team, at UCLA. Okay team, not bad. Probably a little better than Wyoming. They beat Utah, who's a bowl team, who's above average. They lost to Washington, who's a really good team. Then they play Arizona, who they beat. Who's Arizona? Give them credit. Arizona's good with Khalil Tate. But then Oregon State's awful. They won 69-10. So, like, looking at who they played with Herbert, they haven't played anybody great. Was their best win with him Arizona? 7-5 Arizona team?
Either of the Arizona teams, yeah.
Well, they lost Arizona State. That's what I mean. Their best win.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind.
And so, like, he played well, and I'm not trying to downplay him at all, but, like, he missed. It's tough to, like, had he even played, who knows if they probably wouldn't be Washington State or Stanford or Washington. They lost all those by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And so expecting him to come back in versus Boise State, whose defense, like I mentioned, as good or better than any of those teams that he didn't play against. Like, they were the defense that better than any team on the schedule. I can even include Stanford, Washington. We saw Washington State versus Boise State. This defense, probably the best defense Oregon played all year. And it showed because Oregon's offensive line could do nothing. I don't care if they had Royce Freeman or not. They could not run the ball to save their life. Van Der Esch, Wilson, or not Wilson, what's his name? Oh, shoot. Who am I thinking of? Who's the freshman?
Are you talking about Kekaula and Canijo?
No, whoever it is, whoever, there's so many, I blanked on them, I apologize, but they're just getting the backfield at will, essentially. There's no lanes for them to run the ball, and Boise just looked like, they looked like the Pac-12 team, looked like the team that had bigger size advantage, pushing everybody around, and if not for two dumb plays, this game would have been like 50-10.
What was interesting to me is, you know, on the very first drive, I distinctly remember this, because the first two plays, you know, they ran the ball kind of to the edges. They were kind
Which team?
Oregon.
Okay, all right. Make it you know, clarify.
Their first two plays, you know, they complete a 4-yard pass, and Jalen Redd gets to the outside for 5 yards. And so they set up 3rd and 1 on their first drive, and then they run with Kenny Benoit up the middle for no gain whatsoever. And so I was thinking to myself, okay, well, you know, if they can attack the edges, maybe they can challenge, you know, Boise's speed to the sidelines. Like, if they can bet on their athleticism and their speed to being a little bit better than Boise's was, that might be kind of the way forward. But then, you know, it just seemed after that, they never really had an opportunity to take advantage of that. Because on the next play, you know, they go backwards 10 yards because they end up holding after a 5-yard gain. And then they basically go 3 and out after that. And then immediately after that, that's when Van Der Esch ends up forcing the fumble on the swing pass and things like that. So by the time it's the end of the first quarter, Boise's already up 14-0, and they can't play the game that they want to. And, you know, I'm kind of with you. We didn't know if Freeman was going to play or not when we recorded the preview. He didn't end up playing, but I don't think it would have made much of a difference because the guys on the interior for Boise, and I'm thinking most particularly about David Moa and Sonatani Louis, they probably played their best overall game as a unit, as you know, as far as interior line are concerned.
They
basically shut down what Oregon wanted to do, because everything that I was seeing in the video that I watched leading up to this game, you know, when Oregon can find success between the tackles, that is where they can be really dangerous, kind of setting up the pass that way. And Boise State just never allowed them to do that. You know, they shut down the running lanes on the inside. They created turnovers. You know, they had 2 forced fumbles in the first quarter, both of which I believe led to touchdowns. And, you know, by the time Oregon was able to do anything on offense, they had to throw and catch up. So that, I think, could not have gone any better for the Broncos.
Yeah, and then look at that first half. We cannot omit. We have to talk about the terrible interception in the end zone.
Yeah.
Because we can't just gloss over how bad that was. It's watching the game, like, oh, crap, is this going to... Because here's the thing. At that point, it's 7-0. Boise had that... And also in that prior drive, they went for them 4th down and got it.
Mm-hmm.
4th and 2. So they made some key plays. 3rd and 10, then 4th and 2. They get the touchdown. And then also Madison, did he only show up in like 1 or 2 plays, I think?
He was limited. I think after the first half, they didn't really play him as much. They were leaning more on Wolpin and Robert Mahone.
I remember he came in early, I'm like, oh, look who it is. But that interception, like, they drive down the field. And then again, I noticed this, not just this game, but I noticed in other games, watching Colorado State game, watched a few other highlights of bowl games. It just wasn't really a fade pass. They tried to do that pick and rub where it wasn't really the case, where you can get called on that. But also, don't throw a floater in the end zone. Don't give a defensive back enough time to go get and jump up and grab the ball, because the way the play turned out, and this was a great play by the Oregon defender, by Aaron Springs, it was basically, he had 2 guys line up on the left side, he had 1 guy go underneath, and 1 guy kind of, they wanted to kind of do a fade, essentially, a little bit. Not a fade, but just kind of back to the corner of the end zone. So there was the Boise receiver never got in the way of the other defender. Like, because you can't pick or block, but there's ways to get in the way without really getting in the way, where he has to adjust his defensive routes. So the one guy went underneath at the goal line, and then they threw it up top, but the Boise receiver wasn't even really open, so Springs takes a step back and dives backwards for a one-handed catch. Like, that's a great, amazing play on his part, but I don't know what Rip... That's, I don't want to criticize too much, but it was just a terrible pass play. Even had he thrown it, it may not have been a touchdown, because the receiver running the route wasn't far enough back in the end zone. They're still close enough where that defender, had he not even taken a step back or two, could have possibly jumped and tipped the ball or something anyways because how close they were. It's just something where it's like you got to think a little bit. Don't just throw it, because it seemed like it was a play where it was a spot throw where he's going to throw it to the spot regardless.
I mean, honestly, if we're gonna quibble about the interceptions for a second,
I'm sorry.
I had a little more like the second one that he threw that was intercepted by Tyree Robinson, I believe. That, I think the optics on that one were a little bit worse, mostly because he had just thrown like a perfect strike for 65 yards, you know, down the field.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, so he follows up a great throw with like a really badly underthrown throw that, you know, Oregon was able to take advantage of and make it a little uncomfortable before halftime. And
I mean,
I think that there's two ways you can kind of look at it. You know, maybe yes, Brett Rippon was sneaking in a little bit, but I mean, I think that when you take a step back and you look at what the overall game plan was trying to do, they were taking a lot of shots down the field.
Yeah.
And I think when you take a look at what Boise was able to do overall, you know, yeah, the turnovers weren't pretty, but I think that, you know, when you step back and look, you know, they had seven plays of more than 15 yards, but like, you know, he had a 50-yard pass early on to Sean Modster. He had a 65-yard pass to Cedric Wilson. And then he had, you know, 30-yard pass to Wilson, a 41-yard pass to Wilson. So, you know, I think it was all kind of part of the game plan to just lean on Rippon and kind of let him rip it.
Because with the running game, without Madison, their running game has been suspect. And they still did well. Wopen still had 71 yards, a couple touchdowns. But also, we need to remember here, Cedric Wilson left the game for a while and still ended up with 221 yards.
Yeah.
Because had Boise had to run the ball the whole game, I don't think they would have won. Just because without Madison, he's your best running back. And same thing with Oregon. No Royce Freeman. They struggled to run the ball at will. But let's go to the end of that first half. So it's 24-0. It's like, okay, I'm like, cost game, okay. They had the, why? What's the point of the Statue of Liberty? Come on, really? Is it just because you're up big, you want to try something to get really up big? What was the point of that play? I see no reason to run that play.
Well, I mean, you could make the argument that maybe Boise was feeling themselves a little bit. Cause,
yeah, a little confident there, guys. Slowly roll.
I mean, it's easy to argue against it when like the worst possible outcome comes out. But I mean, if Mahone doesn't fumble, then it's basically just like a 2-yard gain and we're not having this conversation.
True. But also Rippon, the play was ran too slowly. Like for the turnaround to get to Wopen and Rippon is hanging back there. The ball went up high, hit Wopen in the face. That was part of it too, because he doesn't see where it's going. And with it taking a bit longer, Rippon's hand just kind of moved out of position, kind of watching the replay, and they mentioned this in the game, that Wopen was waiting for, or excuse me, Rippon was waiting forever. His hands kept going raising up, because you have the motion, because you have the fake throw. So your body's torquing that way, and it took so long to get the ball, ended up being in the face, and Wopen couldn't recover, getting the ball smacked in his face.
I mean, to me, to borrow a Vegas term, I kind of feel like Boise State at that point was just kind of letting it ride. Because when you look at first half on, I just want to make a point.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
When you take a look at, you know, yeah, the last minute and a half of the half wasn't pretty for the Broncos. But I mean, when you look at the numbers, though, they basically dominated the Ducks in every facet of the game. You know, they had, you know, a 294 to 77 advantage as far as total offense is concerned. You know, Brett Rippon was, you know, only 14 of 28, but he ended up with 229 yards. So he was averaging well over, like, what, 12, 13, 14 yards per completion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can see it's the end of the season. You're up against an opponent. You got him on the ropes. You're looking for the jugular. Why not? You know what I mean?
I just felt aren't, not that they're passive, because through the whole game they showed the Oklahoma thing, because they even joked earlier in a drive before, I think the opening drive, where's no Statue of Liberty here or something, did they shoot out to Ian Johnson and play in Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know, it just seems like, aren't they, not that they're past this, but it's like, come on.
Well, I mean, I think there's two ways of looking at it. Yeah, because, you know,
maybe, because you're also at to
a little bit unnecessarily. Whatever.
I just think, whatever.
But then you look at the opposite, and yeah, they fumble it, and Oregon takes it back for a touchdown. But at that point, they were still up 17 points, and even after ripping through the interception, they're still up 10 points. And there was really no indication that Oregon's offense was ever going to get back into sync.
So they never did. They never did at all. They
really did. Like, you know, half of the you know, they ended up with 280 yards of offense on the game. 203 of those yards ended up coming in the second half, and more than half of that came in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, maybe they were feeling themselves, and maybe it blew up in their face. You know, maybe they were being a little too fancy for their own good. But, you know, the situation being what it was, you know, it's hard to find too much fault in it, at least just from where I'm sitting.
No, I hear you. I don't know. I just didn't like it. It's like, you're that close, just run it in. And the other interception was pretty bad, too. But when they scored 14 points in 30 seconds, it's like, I'm like, oh, boy, they're going to come back? Because Boise pretty much squashed it, though, on their first drive and second half. And obviously, a ton of credit. They just did what they did. Wolpin ran the ball well. Rippon was passing down the field. He had, what, 9-7, that 30-yarder to Cedric Wilson to get deep in the territory. They did fine. They ran, scored a touchdown. That basically, because at 24-14, it's like, okay, this is a game. But Boise getting the ball was a big help. They go down 31-14. But Oregon, the only time I got a little bit, not scared, but kind of, okay, is this going to turn? Because Oregon gets that touchdown to make it 31-21 late in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. They go down pretty easily. They had that nice, they almost had, they should have scored the play before, but Herbert found Brendan Schuler on that second pass. Because yeah. One was just, oh, geez, he missed a guy open, or a guy dropped it, I should say. So it's 31-21. I'm like, okay, it's getting interesting. But then, and I mentioned this before, I think last year, when Boise State's always up big, they still tried to just throw the ball. They threw it three straight times. No, two. They tried to throw it three straight times. Two incompletions and then a sack. It's like, run the ball. Like, this may, I know this seems like me piling on, but you're up 31-21. It's in the fourth quarter. Why are you throwing in every single pass play? Every single play? I know I'm nitpicking, but it just seems like this happens more often than not. They're playing teams, they got a lead, and they just still want to throw the ball. It's okay to run the ball. Give it to Ryan Wolpin sometimes. And their defense stopped Oregon. Nothing came of it, really. End up getting 38-28 because they each exchanged touchdowns. But that's, I don't know, I just feel like you have a lead. There's no reason to throw it three straight times.
I think that kind of speaks to a larger theme that, you know, Broncos fans will probably start thinking about heading into next year. Because I just went back and I looked up the numbers as you were speaking.
Ranting, and, you mean? You can say it ranting, it's okay.
As you were speaking, because I think you made a good point, but I think it speaks to a larger issue that it'll be interesting to see how it resolves itself going forward. Because I went back and I looked at how Boise finished drives, you know, coming into the game and also within the last 2 years. So I've talked about points per trip inside the 40 last year, or in past podcasts, rather. So coming into today, and I think I tweeted about it during the game, because I feel like we saw a lot of it during the first half as well. They finished right around the national average, you know, at least coming into the bowl game, as far as points per trip scored inside the 40. They were 69th nationally. Last year, they were in the top 20. Back in 2015, they were ranked 88th. So, you know, if you look at how Brett Rippon has done in the last couple of years, you can see there's, you know, a little bit of unevenness from year to year. You know, obviously the numbers are dragged down now by the fact that he threw two red zone interceptions. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, he had completed, I believe it was like 58% of his passes in the red zone, which among Mountain West quarterbacks was one of the better figures. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but it was kind of an exception from his performance in the last 2 years. You know, he was, in 2015, he was right around 52%. In 2016, he was under 50%. So I think that, you know, if they want to emphasize that going forward, you know, Rippon's going to have to get a little bit better. Obviously, he'll have to take better care of the football. I think that's probably more of an aberration than anything.
Yeah.
But if he can improve just a little bit, you know, I think that overall in 2017, he made it worthwhile to throw in the red zone. But, you know, if he can take one more step forward, that could make Boise a very dangerous team in 2018.
Oh, it definitely can. My main point was, like, time and place. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here in the fourth quarter, right, just the start of the fourth quarter, they had the touchdown. Or, no, sorry. Yeah, it was still the fourth quarter, wasn't it? Fourth quarter just started. Yeah. I'm not saying pull it in and run three tight ends and one back or two. You know what I mean? Don't play the goal line or take a knee. Like in the water boy, it's like, well, they can't stop us. But the thing is, the offensive line was bruising and pushing Oregon around for the most part of this game. Like, pass protection was fine. Rippon only got, one sack. They did have six TFLs. Oregon did, but the offensive line was holding their own and doing fine. I don't have a problem throwing the ball, but on every single play. Let the clock run a little bit because, yes, you're up 17 points, but look how quickly it changed when it's now 31-21. Then you go three and out. Quickly three and out. Like, it's the drop time clock was only 55 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Run it once, maybe twice. At least run it on the first down and knock off another minute because the way Oregon, that drive before Oregon, that was by far their best drive of the game, I think, where they had eight plays, got to the end zone. Boise's defense just wasn't there that one drive. Oregon did their thing. Herbert moved down the field. There's a penalty on holding, Boise penalty, give another first down, give them to midfield. They had good field position because they punted deep in their own territory. And so why give Oregon the momentum back on a quick three and out? That was my main point. Like, let the drive simmer a little bit, keep the other team off the field. Even if it's just a minute and you get, even if it's like a no gain, first and 10, no gain, you still knock off 50 seconds off the game clock or something, 30 seconds off the game clock. That's just my point. It's like, run it once. I don't care if you're throwing second and third down, but run it once because the way Oregon played the drive before, that defense had to be not scared, but they'd be put on notice. Like, what if they do it again? Then it's only a field goal game, and Boise missed a field goal early in the first half.
I mean, the only answer I might have for that is
Cedric Wilson.
Well, Cedric Wilson, yes, in one part. But, you know, even when they were trying to kill clock late in the game, neither team was especially successful after halftime in running the football. Actually, both Boise State and Oregon ended up, you know, without adjusting for sacks or anything like that, they both ended up under 2 yards a carry.
Yikes.
So, you know, and that's indicative of the fact that, you know, the third quarter especially kind of devolved into a little bit of a slog. But, you know, I think, you know, they wanted to win the game with Brett Rippon's arm. And I think, you know, especially late when they needed a couple of third downs to really hold off the Ducks, you know, their last two third downs leading up to the Wolpin touchdown, you know, third and nine, third and seven, it was Brett Rippon making those plays.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those are the third and long situations that they've had a fair amount of success in all season long. And so I think that was mostly just a reflection of Boise playing to its strengths overall. But, you know, I think it's something to keep an eye on going forward.
Now, I know I'm nitpicking, but I think it's sort of valid. Just whatever. We don't need to go any further on that. But it's just my point where run the ball a little bit. I know even if it's not successful, do something with it. But this game, okay, 38-28 could have been way bigger victory for Boise State. But they're clearly the better team, played better. And I do like from the Oregonian, who is it, John Canzano? Is that who it is?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, boy, Oregon's got this by two touchdowns or something. And he for, give him credit, coach tweeted itself. I mean, really, I meant Boise State, guys. That's what I meant. Boise State was going to win. So that's kind of fun. It's like people are giving garbage. It's like they're the better team. And let me ask you this, because this came up during the broadcast, and it was a good one by Boise State. There's always the thing when they mention a lot. Or Boise, like Kurt Herbstreit was saying, these bowl games, everybody's excited to watch all these games. And he kind of mentioned a lot. He's like kind of insinuating he doesn't watch every bowl game or incomplete, which not everybody does. He made it seem like Boise State fans were more happy to be there, more excited, but Oregon fans are not because of who they're playing. He also mentioned this point when it was like 14-0 and Oregon, or 21-0 and Oregon was basically out of this game before those touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's any validity? whatever, I can't speak to it, validation or correctness in this, saying that Oregon, a lot of stuff was going for Oregon in this game. A lot of stuff was going on. New coach, Royce Freeman decides not to play, but he's hanging around on the sideline trying to cheer guys up. He's like, if you're healthy and on the sideline, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Play or not play. Don't be their cheerleader when they know you could be helping this team. Was there too much going on that maybe caused a little confusion or just not as focused as Oregon should have been? Did that play any factor into this game of what was going on?
I mean, I don't think either of us have mentioned the fact that before the Ducks even ran their first play, they had to take a timeout to avoid a delay of game penalty.
Oh, I forgot about that. I think I fast forward to the game starting and didn't realize that. So yeah, maybe.
But even beyond that, you know, Boise ended up on the afternoon with a huge advantage as far as penalties. You know, it seemed like Oregon was shooting themselves in the foot way too often, and they ended up with 10 for 95 yards.
I think Oregon, Boise,
which was 4 for 50.
I think they're one of the most penalized teams in the country.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, come on.
Yeah, so I mean, in that case, you know, they weren't necessarily playing as crisply as maybe they could. But I mean, I feel like to some extent that kind of just that takes a little bit of credit away from the fact that, for instance, Boise ended up with 9 tackles for loss. They ended up with 4 sacks, and, you know, Leighton Vanderesh seemed to be everywhere on the field, and Curtis Weaver was, you know,
or Cedric Wilson
with 11 sacks on the year, probably setting himself up to be what the conference's premier pass rusher going into 2018.
Potentially, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe Oregon wasn't as focused as it should have been, but Boise was in the zone and it showed from pretty much the first play on.
And they attacked him too. It's like they talked about, like look, Vander, she got to the backfield seemingly every play. He had the fumble off the sideline off the, was that screen pass? Like, they were just pushing them around. Like, Oregon, their mates, like, here's what Oregon wants to do on running the ball, like with these holes and big, just get the lanes. There was no passing lane. The Oregon offensive line was getting pushed back, like, every single time. It's not like when boys, like, even when they go back to the Fiesta Bowl, oh, they beat Oregon, they had the hook and ladder, which is a necessity out of how much time was left in the game. Or the Statue of Liberty just because, or the wide receiver pass, touchdown. Some of those, like, well, it, I'm not discrediting any of that at all, but it wasn't a point where there's a fluke play where they got up 14. Like, honestly, had Oregon won, it'd been more fluky Oregon won because those two big touchdowns at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. Those are more fluky or not trickery, but like more flukish than anything Boise did the whole game. Like getting a 100-yard interception return or fumble return for touchdown, those are kind of fluky of what happened. Boise relied on none of that. It's not like they needed some sort of trick play to outsmart Oregon in a close game because they could get nothing done. Boise was a more dominant team. They showed on nearly every aspect in 95% of the game. They were barely outgained or anything was outcoached, whatever you want to call it. They did better than Oregon on basically 95% of this game.
Well, I mean, and let's not forget, too, that, you know, on defense, they were playing a lot of young dudes. Like, we know Kekoa Nawahini is a sophomore. Like, we know, you know, Curtis Weaver is a freshman. We know, you know, Kekua Kaniyoha, I believe, is a sophomore. But, I mean, they were also starting 2 redshirt freshmen at corner, too, because Tyler Horton didn't play.
That's right.
But, you know, Jalen Walker stepped in opposite Avery Williams, and we didn't really hear his name one way or the other all afternoon long. Probably a good thing, you know, because if you're covering a receiver and they're not really doing much of anything, that's probably a credit to you. So, you know, yeah, they might be losing Vander Esch to the NFL draft. They might be losing, you know, 1 or 2 other guys to graduation.
Here's what they, I have it real quick for who they have. I know, I don't think this depth chart's accurate because it mentions Tyler Horton is for the game, but like Kikoka Nawani, sophomore. Pierce, sophomore. Willie Avery Williams, redshirt freshman. Gabe Perez is the only starting senior on this defense. Tyler Mavis, sophomore. Vander Esch, redshirt junior. Jabril Frazier, redshirt junior. Moa, redshirt. I mean, like, sophomore Lua, junior starting up defensive end, and Durant Miles. Like, only a couple upperclassmen on that whole list. And so, yeah, if they lose Vander Esch, maybe Frazier, I don't know if he would go, but you never know. They're only losing, what, at most, probably 3 defensive starters on this team. That was, what, the bet one that, what, who is better on defense? Fresno State right up there with them. Maybe San Diego State. Top 3 defense at worst in the Mountain West.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's those 3 teams, yeah.
As I'm saying, like, there's some, I don't have everything in front of me, but some order in one category or another, it's one of those 3 teams probably in any specific or meaningful defensive unit or unit stat, I should say.
Oh, we should probably like, Wyoming in that mix, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, Wyoming. So, yeah, so top 4. And they're all really good. Wyoming turns the ball over, those guys, with Granderson, Logan Wilson, Wingert, everything like that. So, like, did it matter? Like, was it, like, coaching? Like, Cristobal, I know he has to say these things. This is the best week of preparation ever. It's like, really? Was it? You don't know if Jim Leavitt's hanging around. Your starting running back is practicing, ends up not playing. It's like, there's so much stuff going on. I get the distraction part, but Boise just dominated. There was, like, had Boise played, like, the way they played, they probably beat nearly any team in the country.
I mean, I think what you saw is a sneak preview of what a lot of different teams are going to get next fall. Because, so like, it's young, it's deep, and, you know, feel free to add us. Like, if you think the 2018 defense is going to be really good, like, you know, it's their best defense since blank. Like, and it's hard to choose because, like, you look back over the years and you look at the numbers, you look at what this team has historically done, and, you know, they're more known for guys like Kellen Moore and Jay Ajayi, you know, the guys at the skill positions and stuff like that. But the defense has consistently been at least a top three defense, you know, basically since they joined the conference back in 2013 and even well before that, or excuse me, 2011 rather. But yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be a sight to behold, I think, next fall.
Yeah, like really quick. Even when me and Chris did the show before, we always kept saying, like, I remember Mitch, oh, JJ is gone. It's going to be tough to replace him. But we're always like, well, look at the defense. The defense has always been fine. The past couple years, they shorted up. Like, since they joined the league in 2011, their worst defense was fourth. And I'm just going by yards per game, which I know it's not the best stat, but like yards per game, the worst defense was last year when they were fourth. Mm-hmm. And so, and they let, and that, and even that year, they were still second in yards per play allowed. They were number one, better than TCU in 2011, better than, they left the league, but 2012, number one defense. 2013, like, this is yards per play. Yeah. Number one tiers, 23rd, second. 2014, they were top three, like, they're top three in the categories that count. And this past year, they were second in yards per play. They were, third in total yards per game. And so, yeah, they bring most of the guys back. And so, you're right, like, people pay attention to the offense, like what Cedric Wilson did, Brett Rypien, or Doug Martin. Go back to any running back you want past couple years, or even other guys, wide receivers they've had past couple years who are hanging on the NFL. They always have guys that are doing great defensively. Like, they had two guys, wasn't there two defensive backs, one start, Dante Dion, didn't he start as a rookie for the Giants last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
These guys, like, they're hanging around doing things in the NFL. And so, like, we can go ahead. Let's do it. Want to hear a super hot take that people are going to hate for 2018? Because okay. We have a few minutes to talk about this team because we're only at 32 minutes.
Okay.
Boise State is not only going to be the number one team in the conference, dare I say the best group of five team next year next year.
Is that a hot take, though?
For me, it might be.
I mean, because I know that we'll get into this in more detail later, but, you know, obviously they're going to finish the year in the top 25. That's a given, mm-hmm. You know. You might hope that maybe their non-conference schedule looked a little stronger going into next year.
Well, it is. Would you like that right now that's in front of me at the moment?
Well, I have it in front of me as
well. Okay. It's pretty good.
So, I mean, you know, at Troy, it's going to be a really good test. You know, even if they lose some pieces off of their 11-win team, like, we saw how good of a win that ended up being this year. You know, UConn, yeah,
whatever. Great. BYU, Power six, come BYU. On. Power six. Power six.
Whatever.
American power.
American power sixer. Anyway.
Sure.
I mean, you might hope that BYU can rebound to bowl eligibility at least. And they do have a game at Oklahoma State, which is going to be probably one of the best non-conference games the conference has to offer. But, I mean, I think you're right. If they're not number one to get that New Year's Six Day Bowl next year, they're definitely on the short list, whatever that list looks like.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes because I don't have every schedule in front of me at the moment, but because this schedule next year is maybe a step back because Washington State, Virginia, but there's still some good teams on there. But I'd have to go through it. Like Memphis, I guess who they're losing. We know San Diego State will be in the mix. Colorado State brings back a lot of guys outside of Michael Gallup and Jake Bennett, but I guess it's Central Florida. USF was Quentin Flowers. I don't know, Houston. I don't, who knows, maybe. But Logan Woodside's gone at Toledo, so. Maybe it's not a hot take, but it's...
Now let's watch Florida State get ranked in the preseason next year and Boise State get shut out.
You mean Florida State... Hold on, wait. No, not, you got Florida State.
That's what I mean.
Texas. Oh, I'm not done yet. Texas. UCLA. Tennessee, right? Those are the four teams that always find themselves ranked without deservedly.
Yeah. So watch all four of those teams get ranked and watch like Boise State not be ranked.
I'm not saying that I want
that to happen. I just feel like it's going to happen and we're all going to hate it.
Track record, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. And we could obviously include, like I mentioned, CSU, San Diego State, their offensive line will be really good next year because they started mostly freshmen this year, young guys, injuries, and they'll have Juwan Washington, Colorado State with Nick Stevens. So we'll see. I don't know. Put Fresno in the mix? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Anything? No, that's it. Just, yeah? Okay.
Didn't
know
if we'll talk about them more on the next podcast.
I didn't know if you wanted more of a yeah than that, but that's okay. I just wondered what you would quick comment on Fresno. But, I don't know. Is that all we got today, I think? Are we good?
I think that's all we have for the Vegas Bowl. Yeah.
For the Vegas Bowl. That's it for that. Boise State wins. They finish. One stat I wanted to mention. They have won. This is their 11th winning season. 7th time in 12 seasons.
It's pretty good.
Oh, no, excuse me. Let me rephrase that. No, sorry. 7 times in 10 seasons, 12th bowl victory. Sorry, 12th bowl victory. So that's not bad. And also, one last thing. The Idaho Statesman ranked the Boise offense a C in this game.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit hit and miss, you know, because especially in that first half, I think I had mentioned that they had seven different opportunities where they got to the Oregon 25 or better. And they only got points on 4 of those occasions. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to the point that you mentioned. You know, some of the play calling when they got down there was a little bit questionable. So, I mean, I guess I could see that. But I think all things considered, you know, they got the win. They're going to get the ranking. They're going to be on the short list, you know, for, you know, having big plans going into next fall. So, hard to find too much fault.
Okay. I think a B minus at worst, but maybe that's me. The optimist, apparently, on the show. I don't know. But that's it for today. Boise State, like I said, beat Oregon. Las Vegas Bowl recap. And just keep following us along because we'll have a New Mexico Bowl recap. We'll be previewing the Hawaii Bowl, all the other bowl games. But thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends. Blog Talk Radio. Tune in. Stitcher. iTunes. Wherever you get your podcast. Leave a review and let us know what you think of it. And how do we end the show now, Matt? Because I can't say what I used to say. Do I say see you next time?
Well, thank you for listening.
And, exactly. Thank
be sure
you.
To visit mwwire.com, the peak of Mountain West coverage anywhere.
There we go. See you next time, folks.